Yeah, I think lower is better.
Have your lights on a remote control?
Yeah, I can
Nice.
control like the type of temperature and things like that.
Very 2006 of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, clap on, clap off next.
Type shit, you know. Hold up. Now I gotta change this one.
It's LEDs. That's the remote. Okay.
Yeah. I gotta get a cool color.
Ooh, the color.
Hold up. Put it down a little bit.
You're trying to match your melanin. He's like, which shade makes me look the best? Like, this is like a periwinkle. This is more of a saffron, a little chartreuse. I'm just naming advanced colors I can think of.
Oh
A
man,
rich mahogany.
a rich mahogany. This is why I hate moving, because you
Oh.
have to wait for all your fucking furniture to arrive.
Oh, it's still not there yet.
Yeah.
When's it get there?
I'm just waiting for my desk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's really it.
Yeah.
Once I have my desk, everything will be a whole lot smoother. But I'm in a gaming chair set up in the corner of my bedroom,
Nice.
next to my bed with these nice red silk sheets.
Oh, the silk sheets. Yes. You weren't kidding about those.
No, not at all.
No.
I was gonna do white like Bruno Mars, but yeah.
Wow. I don't think I've ever slept on silk sheets in my entire life.
Really?
Well, I'm a hot sleeper, so I sweat very easily, so silk would not be a good idea for me.
You know, I would actually disagree. I think you would actually enjoy sleeping on silk sheets, and I think it'd help with your sweating.
Because it kind of stay cool.
Yeah. No, for real. Like, it helps you stay cool. And you know how sometimes when you go to sleep, you can flip over your pillow and it'll be the
Yeah.
cooler side?
I do that all the time.
Both sides are always cool with silk. So,
It's not so much the cool thing, it's a stain thing. Like, you know,
a
sweat and
stain?
silk is like not that's hard to come out.
I've gotten worse out.
I was gonna say, your face is like, well, my God.
Oh, we started off the show right.
Wow, that was amazing. I'm just gonna pivot from there because there's no transition I could even come up with to go from stained silk sheets. I'm just going to ask how Thanksgiving was for you.
Man, Thanksgiving was amazing. I actually spent it with the Fosters.
Whoa, imagine that.
Yeah, man. I mean,
And live
great
to tell
eats.
about it.
Food was amazing.
Thank you,
We
sir. Thank you.
watched the Bears catastrophically find the most impressive way to lose a football game again.
It's
We'll
fun
get into that a
stuff.
little later.
That's for later.
But I got to witness my co-host's mom
Oh, man.
become Steve Harvey for the
Yeah.
grandkids.
It's her lifelong dream.
And she not only embraced the role, she was passionate about it. You could tell she cared. And
Little
I
too
said, you know
much.
what? Reminds me of someone I know very well. The light-skinned brother with the beard that I talk to every week about
This
bullshit.
guy.
Yep.
I happen to love games, you know. In case the people didn't know that listening to the Bank Bro Show, I'm quite a gamer. I love hosting games, playing games, creating games. It's my favorite thing.
Man, anything about games, CJ is on it.
Oh, yeah,
So
man.
I thought it was pretty cool to witness like the kind of what she passed down in a way, you know what I mean? You know, and how I actually got to see how parents kind of vicariously in a way live through their kids
Oh,
without
yeah, absolutely.
actually living through their kids, you know what I mean? Like the spirit of them will always live inside of their children. So it's like they're not really ever gonna be gone, you know what I mean?
Right. Very true.
It's just, I don't know. I think when I'm high and I'm like having good food and just in good spirits, I try to analyze things in ways that I probably shouldn't, especially on Thanksgiving.
I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way. You get all your, not emotional, but you get your feelings about some shit where you're like, either there's a really beautiful moment, or like, wow, all the steps that it took me to get to this point, wow, like just the grand scheme of it all. That's usually where my brain goes with that kind of shit. Just I'm so insignificant. Look at all the things that happened to let this day occur the way it happened. Like, that's where I go with my shit.
Yeah, no, I'm fuck, bro. I'm totally with you, man. Cause you know, I'm very much a Jesus take the wheel type of person.
There you go.
I'm definitely I'm a trust in the universe, and I may come across as careless in a sense, but you know, I just know I'm not gonna ever be in complete trouble
True.
because I'm always gonna be protected no matter what. So
I feel that.
that's
I
how my
feel that.
mind is, and that's how it works. So it's like, once I go down one rabbit hole, let me dig a little deeper and see what's beneath here.
That's that spirituality shit. But no, I feel you. I'm the same way with that. Like, I feel a certain sense of like, I'm good. Like, whoever, whatever it is up there, spiritual, God, whatever, someone's got my back. Because otherwise, there's no reason you can explain my life the way it is and how good things are. Like, knock on wood or whatever, that things stay good. But, half hard work and half someone out there having my back. A lot of lucky breaks. So, can't deny those forces are at work. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed Thanksgiving. That was 20 hours. I even counted. I timed it all out. 20 hours of prep and cook time for me, getting ready for that feast. It was the biggest challenge in my culinary career. I'm glad it was a success. Sorry for the late episode post, ladies and gentlemen, because after, again, 20 fucking hours of all the Thanksgiving goodness, I'm pretty sure I slept for 2 days straight. So it was like Sunday. I was sitting right here. I was watching football, doing some bets on Underdog. Shout out to Underdog again. And it occurred to me, it was like, I don't know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And I was like, I didn't even look at the podcast. What the fuck? Oh my God. The whole week just went by. I freaked out. I said, oh my God. So I edited it real quick. So if it's a little bit of a rough draft, folks, that's because I edited it in like a third of the time I normally do. Sorry about that, folks, but Thanksgiving took that much out of me. But I'm happy with how it all went down. Everybody had a great time. We had a big turnout. That was like 18 people, and you could hear us down the fucking block. We were loud as fuck. But it was
Oh,
all
hell yeah.
laughter. Yeah, it was good vibes, a lot of football, a lot of whiskey, and just, yeah, great food. I'm happy with my menu. I'm grateful the cheesecakes came out the way they did. Oh, those were hits for me.
Oof. And was that a corn casserole?
That's mom's specialty. That wasn't even me. That's one of the
For
one
real?
things. Yeah. My mom makes that for Rachel every year. Rachel had it. That's one of the first black dishes Rachel ever had. And she was like, oh my God. And she demands it every year at Thanksgiving. So my mom makes Rachel her own small corn casserole every Thanksgiving.
Tell Rachel I am sorry because I was fucking that shit up. I
Everybody
was
does,
tearing
man.
that
Everybody digs the corn casserole. That's, I don't
Yo.
know what it is. It's simple, but it's magic.
Yeah, because basically it's, if you think about it, it's just cornbread with corn.
That's really all it is.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it's like, why hasn't anyone ever thought of this?
Oh, we have. They're all in the South. They're all in the South. That's where they're.
But it's like nobody else, like y'all, none of y'all motherfuckers came up with this. Only them.
You're right. What y'all doing up here? But that's, yeah, corn casserole is a big hit, dude. So that I love that. I don't even ask for it. Honestly, like, if it's around, I'll eat it, but I'm not even someone who wants it at Thanksgiving. That is literally all Rachel. So that just tells you, like, black folks know how to throw down when we need to.
Man, that
Mom
shit
came
was
through.
immaculate. I think that's the first time I've ever had it too.
Really? Oh, yeah.
I
That'll
think
change your
so,
life. It'll change your life, bro.
bruh. And then when you and Rachel packed me a big ass Thanksgiving tinfoil
Go
dish
play. Yeah. Of
to go plate. Thank you for that.
course. You got to.
And
Got you,
I
bro.
found a fat ass piece of corn casserole in there. I was happy as fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is gonna be the first thing I eat.
But you can't go wrong with that shit. It's
Hell no. I popped that
always
thing in the
slaps.
oven. I said, ooh, I'm ready.
Whatever we can do to help. That's we aim to please. We aim to please over here. So everybody had a great time, except my fucking glass dish. I am so, oh, I'm
Oh, man.
so mad. I made my homemade stuffing like I normally do, and this shit was thick too. I was like, this is gonna be fucking that's the stuff that puts you on your ass every year. And I upped the recipe too. I added some new shit. I was like, okay, great. Put in the glass dish. And I had this very old, large glass dish, but it's gotten me. I mean, I've had it for a decade at least. It's gotten me through every fucking casserole. So I put that shit in, fucking took it out 40 minutes later, good to go, put it on top of the oven. And all of a sudden, Rachel's like, oh, back up. And the fucking glass dish literally starts imploding. So there's like fucking hot glass, like 400 degree glass, just shooting all over my kitchen. And I was like, holy, I have never seen that shit in my life. The glass exploded, essentially. Like, whoa. And I know it's not, because people are like, maybe it's not a high heat thing. I'm like, I'd use it in every fucking temperature imaginable. So like, maybe it wasn't originally, and maybe it just had its last leg or something, but like,
it just so happened to be fucking Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving with my stuffing in it. So I was like, I was so heated. I was so heated, bro. So fucking heated. And then like, we're like looking, peeking like pieces of glass, and the kids start fucking trying to run. And we have like 8 kids in the house at this point and 2 dogs. It might be actually more kids than that. And they're all running through the kitchen and shit. And we're like, oh shit. Like this glass, there's hot shit. There's, oh my God. So fortunately, the way it all fell through, like there was no possible way that any glass would get in any of the food. It just like went straight down like into my, that pull out drawer at the bottom of your stove. So that was fortunate. So Thanksgiving was saved, but there was a solid like 5 minutes where I'm like, this entire meal is a disaster. It's completely thrown out. Everything was going to be fucked. Because other than the turkey, every side dish was in that oven. So I was like, that's it. Thanksgiving's ruined.
He said, that's it. You guys can come over if you guys want. But
right. Dinner is canceled. Oh, my God. I think our elf on the shelf just fell into my
cup. Man, well.
I'm not going to be able to explain it to the kids tomorrow. Fuck. That was a mistake. Anyway. Yes, everything was saved. Everything was good. Thanksgiving was still magical. But next year, I might outsource a little bit of the side dishes because that was a lot of stress for me. Fucking, oh my God.
No, yeah, you went nuts. I don't even know how many side dishes there were, but I felt like there were appetizers, and then there was a main course meal, and then there were desserts. Yes. And then there were also snacks and little fun stuff like mushrooms and jalapeno poppers.
Yep.
Wrapped in bacon.
Correct.
Oh,
spinach and artichoke dip. Like,
I didn't know what it was, but it was amazing.
That's all that matters. See, so yeah, man. Thanksgiving is my day. I'm telling y'all, I like to shine.
That's the greatest holiday in the world.
Now you guys can have Christmas. It's fine. You see my new hat?
You know, I was just gonna bring that up.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, with Christmas coming up, I don't know if you decided to wear that hat on purpose or not, but yes. So fitting for you.
Thank you. No, this is a brand new hat. I blew one too many trees one night and saw this on Facebook and bought it immediately without even a second thought. And I said, you know what? I'm going to wear it the day after Thanksgiving all the way into the end of the year because this is my vibe for Christmas. I'm Team Grinch all the way, baby. Team Grinch. Fuck this holiday. I hate it already. I'm already stressed out. What is it? December 3rd? I'm already stressed.
You got 22 more days.
I'm stressed the fuck out already. As you see, one Christmas tradition just fell into my whiskey. That is a perfect metaphor for how I feel already about this holiday. It is the most stressful part of my fucking year. So, Team Grinch all the way, but with chill vibes. He's got the little hang loose, so I'm a chill Grinch. But still Team Grinch. Forever. For life.
4L.
4L, motherfucker. But we can stay on the... We can stay on the Thanksgiving train for this episode because it's still my holiday. Let's get the show on the road and let's talk about more Turkey Day activities, especially with our teams playing against each other. What do you think about that, sir?
Hey, man. Sounds good to me. Cue the music.
1, 2, 3.
Fix my whiskey, man. That's a shit. He got some fucking fur in my whiskey. Oh my God.
Damn.
No.
That sucks.
I got it. It's a little red motherfucker. That's okay. Whiskey's still whiskey.
Whiskey's still whiskey, man.
Oh my God.
I was just gonna tell you a dumbass story about how I was rolling a blunt yesterday and then I got up and then I knocked the blunt over and all the bud got all over the floor. And
no!
I had to pick up the bud like a fucking crackhead.
No! That's the worst!
Yeah, man. So I picked it all up and re-rolled a different blunt.
I have done that before in dumber ways, but like, I don't know, man. Once you knock it over, it's just compromise.
Bro,
I mean, you do what you gotta do in a pinch, but
it was
a little fur in it.
I just got home from work blunts. Like, this is the first blunt of the day blunts.
You needed that, yeah.
So, I was fiending. As you can see, I scraped that shit off the flow, and I put that shit in a whole new blunt, and I lit that shit up.
At least it's in your new apartment and not like your old ratty one. So at least the floors might be clean.
No, yeah. I don't have carpet, which is great.
Oh, there you go. See?
I hate carpet.
Yeah, I'm not. Carpet needs to go. Yeah, certain capacity is fine, but carpet is played out.
Like, what are the point of rugs if you got carpet?
Right. Don't know. Rugs are cooler anyway.
Yeah, rugs are way cooler. You could swap them out anytime you want. You ain't got to worry about doing a big ass home surgery.
Tear down.
Yeah.
No, I like the rugs. Yeah, you change it out with the style and shit. But no, I feel you, man. That first blunt of the day, it's gotta hit the first time.
It's got
to,
yeah.
I understand. He's over there dreaming about it. I'm gonna get us back on track and welcome everybody back to the Bank Bro Show. How you doing? Hope your Thanksgiving was very pleasant and maybe less eventful than mine. My name is Siege. That guy's Rizzy. As always, you know what it is. Back again, another episode. Turkey Day happened, as my man was alluding to. I was hot and heavy in the kitchen. So when the Bears and the Lions kicked off Thanksgiving, the first game of the day, I knew already I wasn't going to pay attention to it, and I was okay with that. I didn't want the Bears ruining my fucking Thanksgiving. I knew we were going to get the shit kicked out of us, and I said, fine, fuck it. I'm just going to cook through the whole thing, and then whatever. Turns out, though, as the Bears have been doing lately, they made it into an interesting game. A game that was much closer than it had any business being, but an interesting game nonetheless. Now, because I was cooking through the whole thing, I'm going to have my boy here analyze what actually happened in this game while I sip on some whiskey. But I'm going to jump in with some news at the end of it because it has massive implications for the future of my franchise. Go on, sir. How'd it go down?
So for those of you who weren't necessarily living under a rock, but more so whipping in the kitchen under the rock, like That's my me. Brethren Siege. If you missed the game, this is what happened. So you know how those Lions normally come out and just start beating the shit out of teams and moving the ball, and for some reason the other team can't move the ball on them? That's kind of what happened for the first maybe three quarters or so of this football game. You see, the Lions were moving the ball up and down the field, but they had a couple hiccups in the red zone. So going into the fourth, they only had a 16-point lead, 23-7, going into the fourth quarter. And those red zone mishaps came back to bite the Lions in the ass. When I mean red zone mishaps, I mean things like fumbling.
Ooh.
I mean like not being able to convert red zone trips into red zone touchdowns and settling for red zone chip shot field goals. You know, those field goals that are almost the same distance as an extra point. So Caleb starts to shred this injury filled Detroit secondary, specifically the cornerbacks. As you noticed, Kendall Vildor and Khalil Dorsey were in the game with Terrion Arnold. Obviously, Terrion Arnold did not get thrown to very much because Kendall Vildor was on the fucking field.
I'm sorry about Kendall Vildor again.
But you know what? It is what it is. I can't even like harp on him too much because Brian Branch got beat by, it's Keenan Allen.
Right.
But he got beat by Keenan Allen. Yeah.
Yeah.
On a few routes, a few on third down.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore had hell of a games.
My God.
Combined, they had 13 catches, 170 yards, and three touchdowns.
Crazy. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah. This could be a consistent thing with this offense. Like, this isn't crazy to say this can't be consistent. This very well could be.
Exactly.
But Caleb looked really good against a defense that has limited, let's just say limited for the sake of their fan bases, have limited other offenses to almost nothing.
Yeah. Can we shout that out for 1 second. Can anybody else name any other quarterback who has thrown for more than one touchdown against the Lions this season?
A rookie?
It's just Caleb Williams.
Yeah, it's just the rookie.
Only the rookie.
That's where I'm like, okay, like that's respect.
Yeah.
So this is that exact reason. Oh, and before I get into my last point, I just wanted to say that Chicago Bears defense. I told you I was going to analyze it because I don't know if it was the Lions playing bad or the defense really tightening up.
Right.
It was the defense really tightening up. So yeah. I figured out what they were kind of doing. So their base look, the Bears' base defensive look, is like this matchy cover three zone. And they normally play with three cornerbacks. So they're normally in a nickel defense. Mm-hmm. So they'll have the two linebackers who are actually playing really well this season.
Yes.
Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards.
TJ Edwards.
Those two will hover the linebacker positions, and then it's still the match in cover three still has the same principles as a cover three. So you still have those, you know, like in Madden, those three deep blue zones.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of them shooting back deep all the time, they'll match certain routes. So like comebacks, they'll stay on that comeback, stuff like that.
Right.
Some post routes they'll match, so they'll follow some of those post routes depending on the concepts. And the principles, but that defense was really not just giving the Lions issues, but it's been giving the Vikings issues, the Packers issues. That's why the Bears have been keeping these games close. This matchy man zoney defense is honestly what I think is going to be the new wave in the NFL. That double mug, I think, is going to get old because teams are finding ways to hit the deep over routes across the middle of the field. And now with this matchy, I would even call it Saban-esque Alabama defense is what I kind of saw from that cover three match zone. As far as principles goes, sure. Nick Saban runs more of a cover four cover. I forgot what he calls it, but it's more of a cover four ish.
Yeah.
Look, with four deep zones. But anyway, on my nerd shit, that shit really complicated the offense. And really forced Jared Goff to take a lot of checkdowns during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that limited us in the red zone and obviously why we didn't score as many points as what we normally do. But there was something that happened on the first drive of the game that made me question, how serious are the Lions about winning this game? Because
playing with their food.
Like in the very first drive, I'm talking about very first possession, we run a play to Penei Sewell.
Your boy.
And I'm like, oh, that's the type of shit we own today.
Mm-hmm. The fucking shit.
We just don't give a fuck.
No, I don't blame you. It's the Bears. And
I do. I think that raises some level of concern. I know we're, what, fucking 11-1, but it's like, yo, if we do that against the Packers on Thursday, we're probably going to lose.
I'd be a little concerned about that, yeah.
So long term, it does raise some eyebrows for me. I'm not going to lie. That's why today I got clothes on.
You do have clothes on.
And I didn't even notice.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I didn't even notice.
Yep.
Whoa. Yeah, you're serious. Yep. Whoa. Yep. Folks, brace yourself for that. That's wild.
And I just witnessed the Pistons get fucking demolished by the Bucks.
Oh, no.
No, bro. I'm talking about unimaginable happened. I'm talking about Giannis was over here hitting fadeaways.
Damn.
Like, yeah.
Running out of juice in Detroit? That magic right now?
Honestly, sometimes you run into a team where it's just their night and they're just hitting every shot.
Of course.
That's basketball, though.
Yeah,
it's basketball. And you can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's 82 games in an NBA season. So you'll take a loss a whole lot lighter as an NBA fan. As opposed to an NFL fan where there's only 17 games. So every win really matters. Every loss really matters, you know? So that's the plus about being a basketball fan, I guess. But that's that.
And then how did the game end, sir?
Oh, okay. All right. So
I'm not going to talk about it. I can't.
I wanted you to, but
I can't.
It's funny how you can't.
I'll talk about the ramifications of it, but I can't talk about it.
So the Chicago Bears defense, as I mentioned, has been balling out. And so late in the fourth quarter, they get a stop, punt the ball back. The Lions punt the ball over back to the Chicago Bears. At this point, Chicago has scored two straight touchdowns.
Yeah.
Only within three. Caleb is driving the ball. He goes the length of the field. And there comes a point where he has one timeout remaining. It's about, what, 50 seconds, almost a minute left on the clock. What it looked to me was Caleb was waiting for a play call.
Correct.
Obviously, I'm not there, but that's what it looked like.
That's exactly what happened.
And nothing came in. No one really knew what to do, is what it seemed like from watching the all 22. And they wasted first 20 seconds getting into a play, and then another 10 seconds just not knowing what to do. And then the rest of the clock by not calling a timeout. They simply could have called a timeout after they picked up a first down, got a new set of downs, discussed the play, discussed the can, and called it that. All you had to do was say timeout. I don't know, but anyone could have called timeout. I understand. Anyone could have called timeout, because I know the argument is Caleb Williams as a player could have called timeout. Sure, he could have. But you know what? You know who manages timeouts? The head coach.
You don't say.
If the starting quarterback had to manage timeouts, why would you need a fucking head coach?
Thank you.
So, again, Matt Eberflus decides to discover a more creative way to win a game. This time, not necessarily with the last-second field goal, but before even attempting that last-second field goal, not even getting there. He said, how about that? Because he knows he's going to miss that anyway, right? Because he knows he's going to get blocked, right? So he says, well, what if we just do this? And what did that lead to, sir? As I dribble down the lane and throw you a CP3 lob city lob off the glass.
We lost. Caleb tried to change the play at the scrimmage line because he understood, again, as a rookie, he understood, hey, we don't have enough time to run this stupid fucking play that just came through. I got to try to win it now. And he changed the play. They went for an end shot. Time ran out. We didn't get it. And we lost. Fucking lost. A game that we should have won. Again, talent-wise, regardless, it is just the latest in a string of winnable games the Bears overachieved in and blew it because of lots of things. Let's not pretend like it's just all one thing. But there was one fucking thing overall that me and this guy and my mom and every Bears fan in America has always known. It's coaching. Matt Eberflus never should have even gotten to this season. We said it before when we drafted Caleb. You have a new quarterback, get the new regime in place. It was not Eberflus. He was already losing at that point. This, if nothing else this season was unforgivable, this one on Thanksgiving, if he had even made it out of the locker room, I would have been shocked. It would have been chaos in Chicago. It already kind of is. However, if you've known me for a long time, you know the one thing I say about the Bears is nothing ever changes. 100 years plus, nothing ever changes. They never fire any coaches midseason, even though every other team in America does that. They always give them the way out, let them finish the season, no matter how many times it tanks a new quarterback that we've got. Doesn't matter. Boy, was I wrong now. For some reason, they had Matt Eberflus do some weird Zoom meeting for about a minute. Shortly after that, for the first time in their 100-plus year history, the Chicago Bears have fired a head coach midseason for being terrible. I am so, so happy. I'm overjoyed. Matt Eberflus is a very nice man who is a bad head coach. And that's okay. Most of them are. There's only a select handful of men in the NFL in all of history that are successful, good, solid head coaches. Only a few that you can really count. There's so many more that aren't. But the problem with it with the Bears is they never pull the fucking plug when things are dire. It's always after all the damage has been done. All the hope has been drained out of the franchise. Then they fire people and start pointing fingers. So right now we have an interim head coach. It's Thomas Brown. I'm actually very excited for this man. I think if you've been watching Bears football, Caleb has been playing the best football of his career. Since Thomas Brown took over and Shane Waldron left, thank God, the offensive light has switched on. All of a sudden, Caleb is breaking every rookie record in the book. He's playing like a smart quarterback. He's getting plays when he needs them. You're seeing the results. Plain and simple. So as a head coach, remains to be seen. We know he got the shot in Carolina with Bryce Young. It didn't work out so well. But Thomas Brown was a McVay student. He did have a ring with the Rams. So it's not like he's got no pedigree here. If anything, this is a 5-game extended interview to see if he is the guy. Just same way Antonio Pierce was with the Raiders. So you never know. We may have stumbled upon our guy, but I want to make sure we at least talk about the coaching candidates that I want to look at and just all the history behind it, because it's a very emotional moment for Bears fans. I'm happy to see Caleb thriving finally. We're still not in the win column, but my God, if you look at just a microcosm of the last 6 games for us and how things looked for the entire game and then ended, you can point to a coaching problem. You can see the coaching problems. So I think we have enough talent, and I think this team and this situation is like highly coveted, highly coveted. There's a good quarterback who's growing. You have offensive weapons, $80 million in cap, 3 picks in the top 55, which are getting better every week. As soon as Carolina keeps losing, that second round is getting better every week. So this is going to be a place where a coach wants to come, whether you can talk shit or not. But I want to know what you think. I can talk about it all day, but I'll take a break and let you say what you got to say about the coaching and how you feel it all went down in Chicago with letting go of Eberflus.
No, honestly, this was long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
He overstayed his welcome. Should have been fired 2 seasons ago. I always question why teams, when they go into somewhat of a, I don't want to call it a rebuild, but like a transition mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they are losing and they had this quarterback they thought could be something, but now they're going to draft a different quarterback and go in a different direction. It always confused me why teams also sometimes hold on to that head coach.
Mm.
Why don't they just clean house and start completely fresh?
Right.
You know who did that? The Washington Commanders.
Oh, yeah.
How is it working out for them?
Woo! Beautiful.
I think most teams should start taking this route. Because now you're going to have Caleb essentially be a rookie all over again.
It'd be his third coordinator in his second year.
Yeah.
That's nuts. His second head coach in his second year. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's bad development. And it's the same shit we always do.
And I mean, it's the Bears are taking steps in the right direction, and I don't want to downplay that.
Right, right.
But at the same time, we have to keep in mind, they really could have dodged this entire situation.
100% yes.
This is self-inflicted.
Oh, yeah.
But they're taking steps in the right direction. And personally, although I hate to say it, the man for that job is Ben Johnson.
Yeah, he is. And with, you know he is.
With all those toys they got over there, I mean, you don't think Ben Johnson could scheme up a play? Like, fuck.
Right?
he'd be scheming up plays to our right tackle. So,
Ben Johnson is at the top of my Christmas coach wish list. I'm just letting you know. I know how you feel about him going to Chicago, but like the guy has hung 50 points. I know it's Dan Campbell, but Ben Johnson's hung 50 on practically any team that's even looked at him sideways. So the fact that he didn't do it to Chicago means he secretly loves us. He wants us to love him, and we already do. We're already lighting our candles at his shrine. He's going to be our next head coach, and I know it's a tough pill to swallow. But like I always say, at least he's going to get you a ring first, and then he's going to take the payday with us because you know we can afford him. We can give him all the things you guys can't. All the strippers, all the good pizza, everything good in Chicago. We can give it all to him. And y'all can't do none of that. Y'all can't afford that man no more. He's too popular. He's too cool now. Sorry. Y'all made him too cool. You put him out of your own market. That's your own fault. That's what you get for being too good.
He's one of the highest paid coordinators in the league.
And he's about to be one of the highest paid head coaches in the league for Chicago. And it'll be well worth it. And we're going to love him. I can't wait. I can't wait.
No, Merry I Christmas. Mean, I hope the Bears bears this thing and hire a defensive coach.
How dare you? Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky.
Because I'm pretty sure they will. I'm pretty sure they will hire a defensive
like who? Coach.
Not Aaron Glenn.
I'll say, because he's out there.
Your ass. I'll take him too.
No, but I'll say, no, he can be our defensive coordinator. But no, fuck all that. I'm done with this defensive coordinator trying to be a quarterback guru shit. It's not a real thing. It's a unicorn.
Yeah, you need to find like the identity of your team and say what head coach fits this.
Lord, I am so tired of hearing about identity for the Bears. They've been saying that shit for a decade, bro. What's our identity?
No, what's our identity? But the Chicago Bears' identity ain't defense anymore.
No.
It hasn't been ever since, I'd make the argument, ever since Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall.
I would argue against that. I would say when Khalil Mack was here, we had a very strong defensive identity. They were like a top three of the unit in the league, dude.
Oh, sure. But it was short-lived.
Sure. But it was still the last time we were defensive. That was shit on that defense. That defense was shutting everybody down.
Yeah, no. That defense was really good. Khalil Mack was an MVP candidate.
Exactly. Like, yeah, so. That was fucking – I miss those days.
Yeah. Oh. Like him, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller.
That's back when the shit was fun, bro.
Who's that big dude? Akeem Hicks.
Akeem Hicks, my boy.
Yeah.
Pancaking fools. Bears used to be fun, man. They need that shit back. But, yeah, it better not be a defensive coordinator. I'm also looking at, like, Marcus Freeman.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, young guy, former fifth-round pick of the Bears, 2009. He didn't play. He didn't play for us, but we picked him. So, but that man took Notre Dame and transformed it into a powerhouse.
Personally, I would not take a college coach.
If we're getting spicy, he's not my first pick. But as like a dartboard trial, the way Cliff Kingsbury came in and like had a really good flash in the pan first year, if we're going to try that route, I would like a Marcus Freeman is what I'm saying. He's not my first pick. I would really have somebody NFL experience, proven coach, leader of men, offensive identity. That's what I want. If I could take Mike Tomlin, I'd take it right now. So pause. But that's what I'm looking for when it comes to a coach, and I hope that's what Kevin Warren is looking for too, because it sounds like our president Kevin Warren is like, Ryan Poles is not gonna be the guy to make the decision this time. And I'm like, thank
God. No, he
fuck Christ,
he should be fired too,
honestly. I'm giving Ryan Poles like one more shot, like, because he's gotten us some good pieces. I can't argue that fact. He has, but a lot of them haven't worked, and the coaching shit has been atrocious. And that's he is directly responsible for that. So
exactly.
I think if we don't get it right this time, and I mean in 1 year, he's got to go. He's got
to
go.
Man, you know why I think he has to go? Because I think GMs scouting players is just as important as GMs scouting coaches.
Very true.
And if you continue to put the wrong person in charge of your locker room, which he has done, I think you got to go, bro. You ain't picking the right people.
Right.
But the players, ain't nobody got an issue with the players because there's talent on this roster.
Absolutely. Everywhere on this roster, yes.
Except for the offensive line.
Let's not get going there.
But, yeah. Skill positions, my lord. Like, skill positions, they can compete with anybody.
Yes. They're showing you that.
Yeah. And so, Poe's got to go see if this dude, what's his name?
Oh, Thomas Brown?
Thomas Brown, that's what it is.
Yeah. I like the guy.
I was going to say James Brown.
I heard his first interview. He's saying shit I want to hear. It's not the same old cookie cutter, like, let's find our identity, get through five. Like, he's just like he's here to win. He's not here to bullshit. He's not, he's not a guy.
Trying to string some wins.
He's an accountability guy. And I'm like, that's the one thing Eberflus would never do. Even after this horrible Thanksgiving exit, and everyone in the world's like, Matt, what the fuck was all that shit? And he was like, oh, I think we went about it the right way. Like, are you kidding me? It literally got to the point where he went into, and I'm reading all the articles today about it, Eberflus went into the locker room right after that, and Jalen Johnson ripped his ass a new one. Pause. No diddy. But the whole locker room flipped on him. He's been losing the locker room all season long, and they said it was like a chaotic locker room after that loss. It was all on Eberflus, 100%. The whole team revolted against him. So they had no choice but to fire him. They would have lost the entire team if they didn't. Damn. It is what it is. It is what it is, man. Like, he had to go.
It's much for you to fire him.
Thank you. That's because the owners are still the owners, and they won't sell this fucking team, because a real owner would have addressed this problem when the shit was occurring a year ago. So it's still bad ownership. So that's why I don't have all the fucking hope in the world for it. But at least, like you said, it's a step in the right direction. And that's something. But he ends with a 14-32 record. But I mean, let's not pretend that's not par for the course. Before him was Matt Nagy, 34-31. John Fox before him at 14-34. Sound familiar? Mark Trestman was 13-19. Unbelievable. And that all it all precedes our boy Lovie Smith, who should have never been fired in the first place, cursed the entire franchise after his 81-63 record, three playoff appearances, and a Super Bowl appearance. I'm sorry. He should have never been fired. And it's cursed this franchise. It's never been the same since he's been gone. So it is what it is. I can tell you who I don't want for a coach, who I keep seeing names thrown at us. I don't want Mike Vrabel. I don't want Mike Vrabel. I'm sorry.
Really?
I don't.
Why not?
No. He's a strong leader, but his track record is shaky. Titans were overachieving. I never liked Ryan Tannehill. Like, he's a cool he's like a Tamu Dan Campbell to me. Big, strong dude, and the vets would like him. But we need a new identity. We tried that shit in the past. It didn't work. So I need a younger cat. I get the vet. The vets will fall in line. Someone like a Jalen Johnson will fall in line too. Like, you need someone a little bit younger, a little more modern. Mike Vrabel's a good coach, but I'm just not a fan. People like Josh McCown, get the fuck out of here. No, stop it. Not head coach, guys. No. Or like Brian Flores. I like Brian Flores, but I don't want him on my team. Like, the shit with him and Tua, think about that with him and Caleb. I'm like, those are very, very clashing personalities. And in some capacities, you can argue that works. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, I get it. But we're not that fortunate to let that turn into magic. And Flores, I like him more as a coordinator. Maybe not a head coach of this, but those are just some of the days I've been seeing floating around us. And I'm just like, no, it's Ben Johnson or bust, people. I'm sorry.
And you know,
he's the only man for us.
It's crazy because those names are actually names I can see becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Because
you know our history.
Brian Flores, that's definitely a Chicago coach. He's fucking Mike Singletary.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not calling Caleb soft.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is I don't think he would respond well to a Singletary type.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I actually agree with you. I think that'd be the better look for your team too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to realize this is, you know, we've kind of lived through transition of eras in the NFL, right?
Yes.
This is another transition in an era.
Totally.
You're seeing a lot of mobile quarterbacks now.
Mm-hmm.
And so with these Gen Z quarterbacks, man, we gotta have coaches that are up to date too. You know, we gotta update that iPhone. So
got to.
So everything can work smoothly.
That's right.
Man, we'll see how these fucking old, rich, white bigots run these franchises and decide what they want to do. But, man. Goodbye,
Fleece. We'll see. I'm not even going to pour one out for him. I'm just going to sip in spite.
I was going to roll one up, too.
But well, go ahead.
I'll just take a bong rip.
Hey, even better. You rarely do that on the show. While you do that, I'm gonna bring it up because we're talking about rookie QBs. So I want to get your thoughts on the rookie QBs this season. I know we have four main ones, and we're not really calling for Hendon Hooker. I know that's your boy and all, but like between Daniels and Nicks and Caleb and Drake May, like how do you see him doing? We already know how good Jaden Daniels is going, but how are you feeling about the rookie QB race?
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels, obviously Jaden Daniels. I'm not gonna get into him. I always sack him all the time. Pause, but. Yeah. Anyway, and we talk about Caleb a lot here and his progression and how he's looking a whole lot better as of late. But Bo Nix, I think Bo Nix is flying under the radar and he doesn't get nearly as much love as he deserves because he has this Denver Broncos team at 8-5 coming off a very tough win yesterday. I know he threw more picks than touchdowns, but Bo Nix's hand fingerprints were all over this game.
He had a fucking dime at the end there.
He, who was it to? Marvin Mims? He threw Mims. A laser down the seam to Marvin Mims.
What was that, 94 or something? I was like, God damn.
Him and Cortland Sutton have such a nice flow and chemistry together. But see, Cortland Sutton dropped a couple that he should have caught. But other than that, I thought Bo Nix played a very well game. He quarterbacked a very well game. And he deserves to be in the Rookie of the Year race. He deserves to be in the discussion.
I think so.
And you can make the argument he's probably too. But no, the way the three have been playing, It's a really tight race, and honestly, I think anyone can win it. If Caleb has a strong stretch and Jaden doesn't have a strong stretch, Caleb could win it. But Jaden Daniels be balling, man. So that ain't
that's
gonna
what I'm
happen.
Saying.
Like he really do be balling, but that's how close the race is.
That's what I'm kind of like. I appreciate that sentiment, but I think
like,
the race is closed, bro. If knock on wood again, if Jaden Daniels like tore his ACL, I still think he wins it. Like he's been a superstar since the jump, bro. The jump. And Caleb is looking good. Knicks is looking good. Even Drake May's looking good right now. But like Jaden is in a class of his own, in my opinion.
Jaden's different. He's one of those
much different.
He's one of those like you. I can't express to you using words and vibrations how good this man is.
Right.
You're just going to have to watch him because
he
does some impressive stuff, especially at his age.
It's crazy. Like I'm seeing him just literally single-handedly change the momentum of games. That's something you're born with. You don't get taught that.
And I think he's one of those players that can kind of overcome bad coaching.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so glad you said that. Yes. I agree.
And I think I remember saying this before the draft too. I think, and I thought that's why the Bears should take Jaden Daniels number one is because he does better with less. And,
very true. Yeah, this is like the first time, not the first time, but how everyone felt about Trubisky and Mahomes saying like, oh, you know, if you took, I always said like, that's irrelevant because if you had taken Mahomes and put him on our team, he'd still be Trubisky. Like that's what we do. Daniels, I feel, is different. He's like the one rookie quarterback where I feel if we did draft him, I think he would be very successful right now. Like, because he does more with less.
Him and CJ Stroud, I think, would have been fantastic in Chicago, too.
I agree. I think it is a certain type of quarterback. I don't think Mahomes does the same kind of output with us. I'm not saying it's only because of the Chiefs or anything, but like it helps when you get into a perfect situation and you have stars like Travis Kelce in your team. Like, yeah. Mahomes, you look like a fucking rock star.
And Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And Andy Reid calling your plays.
Like, again, I could be a Super Bowl champion on that team. But when you put him in our kind of scope, I don't think he has the same mechanics. But those types, the Strouds, the Daniels, yeah. I think they do enough to pull a whole team together and kind of put the team with their back. They're those types of guys. So,
yeah. I agree with that. Man. I actually think, I know it. Hindsight's 2020, and this dude's not that good right now. But Deshaun Watson would have been good in Chicago, I think, in his younger years.
In his younger years, I would say without all the bullshit, yeah. But I mean, Watson was crazy talented. So I mean, it's got to be the right situation for sure. It's got to be that right formula, the right chemistry between situation that you're going into and the quarterback having the right talents that match up with it. But like, man, I just looking at these four rookies, I'm just like, there's. I gave Drake May even a lot of shit.
Oh, I'm still not a believer.
I'm not a believer, but like I saw in this last game, I was like, okay, there's something there. He's got some talent. It's the worst team to be on with that shit, but there's something there.
I went back to listen to my scouting report on dude.
Yeah.
And I said, he has these throws that'll make you go, God damn.
That's right.
But then he also has these plays that makes you go, God damn, what the fuck? Like that's the type of quarterback he is. And that's why I can never get down with that. Like Caleb Williams is the 85 overall version of Patrick Mahomes.
Listen.
Drake May is the 65 overall version.
Wow. Is that first card you get when you start Mutt?
Yeah. And then after you do the missions and win the coins and stuff, you can upgrade and add it to your set in your binder. Yeah.
I've never thought of that before. That's hilarious. Oh my God. Yep. I love it. That's perfect. That's perfect. Oh man. It's very accurate. But my thing is like, I saw Drake May running a lot in this last game and I said, I'd never considered him for his mobility, but I think he needs to lean into that a lot more because clearly they ain't got much else going on there.
I was
going to
say, with that weak-ass team.
Right. You might as well be a dual threat. If anything, audition for your next team if you must. But he's practically barely Zappy at this point. Just he's with an extra couple boosts. That's about it.
No, he's He's Mac Jones with some wheels, all right? He's
See, all this Drake May, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, they're all the same dude. It's just simple. It's one is vanilla bean, one is vanilla, and one is like, what's the other vanilla? French vanilla. There you go. They're all the same dude. It's just different flavor profiles of the same vanilla bean.
I was going to say zero sugar vanilla.
Zero sugar vanilla. It's that shit you.
That's Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, the back of the fucking freezer with the frostbite on it. That's what you're dealing with here. So that, not into that shit. Anyway, we'll see how they end up at the end of the season. He might make me eat my words, so don't let me talk too much about Drake May, bro. You keep balling out. Show me something. We'll give you the credit and the props when you deserve them, sir. But let's finish, since you talked about Thanksgiving games and you had a great time at my house. I said, you know what? Let the good times keep rolling. Let's finish up with some more blind rankings, because I really enjoyed doing that the other day. So I have three different subjects picked out for you. And these are going to be top 10s.
Ooh.
Not even top 10s, just rank 10.
Spicy.
And we're gonna start with the NFL. Ooh. NFL players. And the first one on the list is going to be Aaron Donald. Where do you rank Aaron Donald on a 10 scale?
So wait. Fuck. All right. So
just what NFL players.
Is it okay? So like not position based, not offense, defense.
Nope.
It's just players in general.
Just players in general.
Aaron Donald, man.
Mm-hmm.
One.
One.
I think Aaron Donald's the best defensive player of all time.
Honestly, it's hard to argue that shit. I love it. How about Champ Bailey, though?
Ooh, I love Champ Bailey. Champ Bailey was one of my favorite DBs growing up.
Champ Bailey was fucking the fucking man, dude.
Fuck, man. I got to – see, the tough thing about these is, like, even if you think a player is good, you still got to keep in mind, what if someone else comes out that's better? You know, what if Regis comes out?
That's true. Don't know.
Or something. Champ Bailey, you know, cornerback. Let's go seven.
Seven. Okay.
Seven. I don't know what's coming next.
Antonio Brown is next.
AB. Okay.
Ooh, regardless of his mental capacity, he is still one of my all-time favorite players.
Yeah.
That man brought me three fantasy championships. I can never hate that man, even though he said some wild-ass shit.
No, yeah. I think he's honestly one of the best receivers to ever play this game.
Ever.
I think he's top five all time wide receivers.
I would agree.
I would put Antonio Brown, man.
That's tough. That's a tough one.
It is, because it's like, you know, let me go Antonio Brown at number, you know, keep him at, no, put him four.
Four. Interesting. I thought you were going to go a little bit lower. All right, who's next? Nick Bosa is next.
Oh, nice. Okay. I respect Nick Bosa, and I think he's a very good defensive lineman, defensive and pass rusher. Plays a run really well, too. Mm-hmm. But on this list, I think he's worse than all of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not knocking him at all. Like, he's just not a 97 overall yet, in my opinion. He's more like a 94, 93 overall, which is very respectable. So I'm going to go ahead and put him number nine.
That's very fair. I'd put him there, too. And there's your boy, Dale Revis.
See, you got to keep this shit in mind. All right, hold on. Scroll up real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, and 10 left.
You know, man, I got a different level of respect for Revis.
All based on Madden. Motherfucker.
Well, that's disrespect, actually.
Yeah.
Because that's just me, though. Every time I go up against an all-star shutdown corner, supposedly, in Madden, I always throw to his side.
Of course.
But Darrell Revis, should. I'll put him number three.
I would agree with that. Revis is top tier. But where do you put Stephon Diggs?
Diggs?
Mm.
You know, okay. I'll be honest. Stephon Diggs might be the worst player so far that's popped up on the list. But again, that's not knocking him.
Of course not.
But personally, Stephon Diggs is one of my favorite players, wide receivers to watch. Totally. I'll rank him above a Nick Bosa. I'll put him number eight.
That's totally fair, I think. Here's Adrian Peterson.
Fuck, I almost want to tell you that too. Yeah, hold on. Scroll down.
Yeah, 5, 6, and 10 left, other than two.
Bro, but what if Calvin Johnson comes up?
What if Calvin Johnson comes up?
All right, we're going to act like Calvin's not going to come up.
Ooh.
But wait, hold on. You made this list, right?
No, this is random. These are popular picks.
Okay. AP, five.
5. Okay. I like it. Justin Jefferson at 2, 6, or 10.
2, 6, or 10? This is kind of hard.
This one's a tough one.
You know, I think 6 for Justin Jefferson is fair.
Yeah. Going 6.
Like, you have to take, I understand the sample size is smaller compared to everyone else on this list because he's just getting started. But name me another receiver that's gotten to this hot of a start to start his career.
Couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
You got to respect that. So I'll put him number 6, and I wouldn't feel too bad putting him number 6.
For being so young, yeah, 6 is insane.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett, 2 or 10?
Fuck.
Right
Myles Garrett. Fuck.
up there next to Aaron Donald, too. Like, oh,
Miles, that threw me for a loop.
man. I
I
can't
would
wait
have
to see
put
who the
Nick
last one is.
Bosa at 10. See, number 2 is going to be like, fuck. Myles Garrett.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Keep him up there.
Number 2?
Keep him at 2.
I like it. I like it too. That means number 10 is going to be Walter Jones.
That's cool.
I like it. I think you got bailed out for that one.
Walter Jones is cool. No, but
Yeah.
he's a fucking beast.
Absolutely.
Left tackle, Walter Jones,
So
man.
good.
But no, that was
Animal.
fun.
I like that.
That
Oh, we're
was
going to do it again.
okay,
But
bet.
I'm going to turn off the popular ones. Let's see how deep the rabbit hole goes on this one.
All right, bet.
Max Crosby.
Max Crosby, 7.
I love Max Crosby. But about Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow. I'm not the biggest Joe Burrow fan, to be honest with you,
Okay.
but I do respect Joe Burrow's game. I'll leave him just outside my top 5. I'll put him at 6.
Okay, keep him at 6.
Yep.
Jalen
Jalen
Hurts.
Hurts. Now, that's one quarterback I believe is better than Joe Burrow. Jalen Hurts, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Let's put Jalen Hurts. Let's put Hurts number 4.
Number 4.
Yeah.
Got it. How about Rob Gronkowski?
Ooh, Gronk.
That's a tricky one.
All right. Let me take a hit.
Nice.
All right. Gronk in his prime was borderline unguardable.
Oh, 100%.
And he got some Super
Unstoppable.
Bowls.
Oh, plenty. Yes.
Put
Probably
him number
greatest tight
3.
end of all time. Number
Number
three.
3.
Number three. JJ Watt.
J.J.
One of my
Watt.
all-time favorites.
Look, leave him right at number 2.
Number two, I would agree. Yes. Yes. That man was a fucking superstar. There's Champ Bailey again.
Champ Bailey. Oh, fuck it. Put him 5.
Put him 5. Chris Jones. Big fan.
Me too. But on this list, put him
1,
ten.
8, 9, 10. Number 10.
Put him 10.
I think that's fair. LaDainian Tomlinson. Oh, baby.
Hold up, scroll up.
You got
Scroll up.
one.
And this is a little bit of bias. Put him right at the top.
Right at
Right at the
the
top.
top. Bam.
LT is one of the No. LT is the best running back I've ever watched. In my opinion, better than AP,
Oh.
better than Saquon Barkley, better than Derrick Henry. Like, that's how good LaDainian Tomlinson was to me.
Electric.
Next on this list was who? Trent?
Trent Williams, 8 or
Eight.
9? 8, which means number 9 is Antonio Brown.
Oh, that sucks.
Right?
Yeah, I would not have put him there. Damn. That's okay.
That's all right.
That was a little tougher. That was a little tougher.
I liked it when it's unpopular because then it really makes you go, like, how deep are they going? Again, pause.
Yeah, I was thinking like, man, they're gonna give me like Terrell Pryor or something, but
Right? Totally could have.
no, all Hall of Famers or potential Hall of Famers.
So let's see. I've got two other subjects we can do for this. I'll pull them up right now. Let's go with dumb ways to die.
Oh man.
On a ranking of 10, suffocating on your own pillow.
All
How
right,
dumb
so
is
I don't know
that?
what other dumb shit is in here, but that's a pretty fucking dumbass way to die.
I would say so.
Why? First of all, how are you suffocating yourself with your own pillow? How are you positioned? Are you laying down? Are you standing up? Are you laying on your stomach, laying on your back? But for the sake of this list, let's just say that's number 5.
Number 5. That's a really dumb way to die. How about sell both your kidneys on the internet? Both of them?
Yeah, both of them?
Pretty
Okay, but
dumb.
see, that's not that dumb. See, you're
What?
selling them though. So
But
you're getting something in return.
you're gonna die because You need both. You need at least one. You can't sell both. You're going to die.
That is true.
Selling that, one is fine. You, you got to have at least one.
All right. Hold up. Scroll up. Put that at number two.
Number two. Yeah, that's pretty fucking dumb. How about standing on the edge of a train station platform?
What?
Wow. How stupid can you be?
All right, but okay. Stupid relative to these.
Well, how this dumb shit is dumb is it?
All right. Of course. Stand on the edge of a train. Okay, so put that number four.
Number four. Take your helmet off in outer space.
Okay. Okay, this might be number one.
What? What? I can't imagine how dumb you have to be to do some shit like that.
Yeah, keep it right there at number one.
I'm sorry. That has to be number one. It has to be.
What the fuck?
Well, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Call the meanest bully fat.
That's got to be number 10.
Yeah, let's say these hands are rated E for everyone.
Yeah.
I wonder, what's this red button do?
But what if that red button doesn't kill you?
But what if it does?
See, that I don't think that's that dumb.
But this is a dumb way to die, so assume the red button killed you. How dumb was it that you pushed it?
Right. Did you know that the red button, you know what I'm saying, kills you? See,
so I don't know if it matters of the why behind it. Just know that it killed you.
I wonder.
And you have to rank it based on that.
Do?
And you push it. Bam!
Curiosity did kill the cat.
It did. So how dumb was the cat?
Keep it at three, because it is dumber than those other two. Because no, suffocating on your own pillow, like,
it's pretty fucking dumb.
Like, you have to willingly suffocate yourself.
I mean,
on your own pillow.
You could, like, fall asleep face down on the pillow, or you could be doing something else face down on the pillow and
just never feel uncomfortable, like, ever.
Until,
no.
Well, I mean, depending on what else you were doing with your face on the pillow, I mean, that could have been pleasurable. But
oh,
maybe you suffocate
Lord.
That way.
Oh,
I'm just saying. It could be a girl.
Just.
I mean, it could be just then she doesn't remember to breathe. I mean, I'm just saying. If you're going to put it out there.
So you make them shit and you make them die. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
I didn't say it was all that.
Listen, let's keep it at three.
We'll keep that at three. dying of laughter from reading this list. Cute.
Damn. That should be number. Yeah. Keep it at nine. Put it at nine.
Getting too fat.
Put it at eight.
Eight. Yeah. I like it. Getting stuck in a tanning booth. Woof.
Oh, that see, that's not dumb. That's actually scary. Like
that shit happens.
Yeah.
Well, you got six and seven left.
Seven, because it's not that dumb.
It's whiskey.
Seven. So
which
six
means
is...
number six is keeping a rattlesnake as a pet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I would never keep a rattlesnake as a pet. Keep that shit away from me.
What was, hold on, scroll up. What was the, okay. So take your helmet off was
undeniably stupid.
Yeah. One of the best ones.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All right. I got one more for you. I think you'll like this one too.
Oh man.
This one is UFC fighters.
Oh, let's go. Let me take a hit.
And we're starting with Islam Makhachev.
I have to keep in mind who I think is going to be on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Put him number four.
I should have did this one as unpopular. We'll do unpopular too on this one, but we'll put him at number four on the popular list.
Okay, this is popular.
Yeah, because you have a deep understanding of MMA, so I want to get to the unpopular picks to see what you get with that one. But yes,
okay, but
four for Islam on the popular picks. Yes,
four.
I like it. How about Dan Henderson? Hendo.
Honestly, I didn't watch too much Dan Henderson.
Interesting. I watched a lot of Dan Henderson.
Really?
I'm old though, bro.
I didn't really.
That's back when they had the old logo.
Yeah.
And the extra fucking spotlights and shit.
All right. I'm going to have to rank him pretty low, honestly.
That's fair. You never know what's on the list, you know.
Put him at number eight.
Number eight. Okay. How about Chael Sonnen? Oh, man.
Put him at seven.
Seven. Okay. I never would put him over Dan Henderson, but that's
give
funny.
Me him over Dan Henderson, man.
Wow. How about Max Holloway?
Max, one. Fuck the bullshit.
What?
One.
What?
Fuck the bullshit. I don't give a damn. Put Max Blessed Holloway number one right now. Next question.
Wow. That's fine. But number one.
Everyone else can come after that. Brandon Moreno. Moreno.
Wow.
Oh, look, scroll down.
The dedication to Holloway.
What spots are open? Moreno's pretty good. Put Moreno number six.
Number six? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Amanda Nunes. Oh, I got the women here, too.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Keep her right at five. I think that's good.
I like it. I think that's very fair. Dominic Reyes.
Yep, right there at nine.
Marab.
Hold up. Scroll up. Fuck.
Two, three, or ten.
Because I should have put Dominic Reyes 10.
Yep.
Marab is 10.
Oh, that's nasty, dude. You won't like that. Justin Gaethje, though. Number three.
Yeah.
Number two is Gilbert Burns.
All right. Well, whatever.
I know that's not your list. Man. Oh, man.
See, popular. I thought it was going to be like John Jones, Izzy.
Well,
Conor McGregor. Fucking Gilbert Burns is popular.
I guess so.
Dan Henderson is popular since when?
I mean, Hendo's a Hall of Famer. I mean, at least I think he is. But that's something where
I guess Burns, I was thinking of like Instagram. Know, man. And
I think it's just like skills. I don't know who's actually ranking this shit, but
gotcha, yeah.
But let's click the unpopular and see what happens.
Okay, but this is going to be funny.
Gregard Mousasi.
All right, I'll be honest. I never watched this dude fight in my life.
Hey.
Have you?
Maybe once. Maybe.
He said maybe once. That means maybe probably once. Not.
Probably not. Is the name familiar?
Number 10.
Okay.
But respectfully, I haven't watched him fight.
Frankie Edgar.
I'm going to rank him relatively high, man. Rank him number eight.
Number eight. Okay. How about Robbie Lawler?
Robbie will be number six.
Okay, I like it. Lawler was dope.
Robbie was a dog.
Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira.
All right, we're going to put him number nine.
Number nine.
Because I've never watched him fight either, to be honest.
Steven Wonderboy Thompson.
Wonderboy. Hold on. What spots are open?
One, two, three, four, five, and seven.
You know what?
Been playing it well so far, I think.
Give me Wonderboy in my top five. Put him at number five.
Number five. I like it. Where do you put Fedor Emelianenko? Wow.
This is one of the dopes.
Yes, absolutely. I'm surprised they went with someone not UFC, too. That's crazy.
Put him.
He was a fucking king for a long time.
Put him
man.
Two.
Number two. Honestly, I don't blame you because he was like king shit for like five straight years. It was nuts. And then some. Marlon Vera.
We have
opinions about him. Yeah.
That's a good spot.
I like it at seven. Yeah, one, three, and four left. And we're going with John Jones.
One.
Of course. Look at you holding the spot for John Jones.
Yep, one.
Man, oh, man. This turned out really nice.
That's the GOAT.
The. T-H-E-E. Curtis Blades. Your boy.
Yeah, no, Curtis Blades, very underrated, man.
Absolutely.
But I don't know who's the last one. You know what I mean?
I love how you go underrated. And my only thing I remember about Curtis Blades is your clip of you going, Curtis Blades? It was a long time ago. I said he should be a challenger.
I know exactly what it was.
You were like,
Curtis John Jones?
Blades? I think it was. Yeah.
No, let's be real.
Oh, he would wax Curtis Blades. I know that. At the time, though, this is back when I still was voting against John Jones for that one fight. And I was like, oh, I want to see him against someone like Curtis Blades. You're like, no, he's going to kill him. And I said, oh, you never know. Now I get it. Yeah, he killed him. Oh, God.
Yeah, I tried to warn you. He was going to kill fucking Francis.
He killed everybody, man.
I mean, not Francis. French dude. I forgot his name. Gone.
Cyril Gane. Yeah, that was my fucking mistake, dude.
He fucking destroyed dude's ribs.
We're going to clip that shit. Cause that was a bad night of shots I had to take for that fucking fight card. My God. But 3-4, where do you put Curtis Blades?
Yeah, put him at four.
Put him at four?
Yeah.
So number three is?
Adesanya.
Yair Rodriguez.
Oh, that's cool. I fuck with Yair.
I like Yair.
I fucks with Yair.
Yeah. That actually turned out really good for you. It's a good list.
Yeah, not bad. I'm happy with it.
Hell yeah. See, I think I knew you'd get into that shit because, like, it makes your brain tingle a little bit. You know, you kind of have to really think outside the box. You just there's so many amazing fighters or football players, like you don't know the scope of it. And sometimes it's their women in there too, so you're like, wait, you gotta think both lanes on that shit. So it's kind of nuts to think about. Yeah. I like the rankings a lot. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that shit is fun.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely bring that back for other shit. I wish they would expand the topics, because you can do this with a lot of shit, but we can come up with our own shit.
Bro, that we should. We should just do a whole episode, just blind rank everything.
Oh, done deal.
You come up with some, I'll come up with some.
Say less. It's happening, next folks. Next week. Let's do it. Fuck it.
Next week.
I like it. We're planning for the show already, folks. Love it. That's how we do it. We are not reactive. We are proactive on this show, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. We always have plans in the tank just for you, and sometimes they just come out during the show. It just sounds good in the moment. So
That's
what we're going to do. Make sure you stay tuned for that shit. Give the fans your last words of the evening, sir.
You guys heard me talk about this earlier. The Pistons got fucking demolished today. So if you could say a prayer for me, I'd appreciate that. Kay Cunningham had a great game, of course, but nobody else fucking did. Yeah.
You can't win them all, man. You can't win them all. Can't always be winning in every sport in Detroit all the time. Somebody else has to win every once in a while.
No, but But the way we lost,
it was bad, bad, bad.
I'm shaking my head. There's no words for this. Wow. Giannis Antetokounmpo was hitting two dribble fadeaways from the mid range. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I mean, the man is wildly talented. I don't know if you remember that.
But he can't shoot. He can't.
But he's sick of losing, so he's evolving. That's what happens. He's a Pokemon. He's becoming a Charizard.
I still think he can shoot. Like, I will never believe Giannis can shoot.
No.
Like, I just never will. Like, you airball free throws, you can't shoot to me.
That's true. He does it a lot.
Like, I get that you airball every now and then, but Giannis airballs consistently at the free throw line.
You can almost count your watch to it, yeah.
And I'm not hating on Giannis, but he does other things very well, obviously.
Right.
Play defense, play make, finish, quick. Fast, tall, bigger than everybody.
Right.
But, yeah, he can't shoot. But today he was knocking them bitches down like he was Kevin Durant. Like, all right.
I'm sorry.
I guess.
I'm sorry you had to suffer through that.
Oh, man, it was fuck. It was, I had a bad time.
It's going to be all right. Do you know why it's going to be all right? Because our fans are going to come to your rescue. They're going to send well wishes and lots of positive energy for your teams to bounce back and have a successful season. And you know where they can do those well wishes? They can do it at the Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, and at gmail.com. It's just that simple, folks. You know where else they can do that? At Bank Bro Show on Insta. Got other avenues coming out very soon. Look out for your socials, folks. We're coming to your socials, and we are going to be blowing shit up very fucking soon. So stay tuned for that shit. More to come, as we always like to say. Pause. Maybe not. Not for those reasons. More content to arrive on your phones. There we go. I danced around it. Yes.
You said we're gonna come on their phones?
No, I didn't say that. I said, oh my god, I can't even dig out of that one. Motherfucker. Anyway, come see us next time, folks. You know why that is, because the Bank Bros are in your
city. Coming on your phones.
Oh my god. We're not coming on anybody's phones. We're not doing that.
Porn on their phones and come on their phones.
I mean, if they want us to, you know, this is a full service podcast. So if we really have a market for that, I'm fine.
Happy
with it.
Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Go get yours off.
Oh my god, the Bank Bros are here for you as we always are, and you can bank on it. Peace out, folks. Have a good night. 1, 2.